Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Thursday morning, live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. We will have Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports with us at 8 o'clock. We will get his thoughts on the Brian Callahan situation, on the Titans, and, of course, on all things NFL as well. So looking forward to that coming up at 8 o'clock. Taking your thoughts in the meantime, 615-737-1025 is our phone number. So, Joe, we were asked earlier basically about the roster and conversation out there that are the Titans basically trying to move on from players that were drafted by Rand Carthon. So, I mean, you think about that for a minute, and it's like, well, you know, Skoronski was drafted by Rand Carthon. He plays a pretty important role for the Tennessee Titans. We know that Levis is not even a thought right now, and he's going to be gone at some point. We'll see what that looks like. But that was, you know, obviously a big part of the Carthon era here with Will Levis and the failure at quarterback on that front. Brownlee has just been traded, so Brownlee is gone at this point. You know, Tavondre Sweat is on the roster. I know he's on IR right now, but he's on the roster, and he was a Rand Carthon draft pick. So I guess I'll start it this way. I don't buy that the Titans are looking at the roster and is like, well, let's just purge the roster of players drafted by Rand Carthon. I think that would be incredibly stupid. I think you look at the roster on an individual basis. Like, look, Skoronski, I think, is a good example, right? I don't know that Skoronski is ever going to live up to being the 11th overall pick as a guard, because to do that, it would require him to be basically an all-pro player every year. And I don't think he's going to do that. Now, he's of their problems right now, he ain't one of them. Like, he's playing pretty well to begin the season. So I'm happy with where he's at and what he's doing. Sweat, I have no idea. I mean, Sweat, that's probably one of the most disappointing parts of this season so far, and there are many. But one of the most disappointing parts is we just hadn't been able to see it. I mean, he missed all of camp, basically. He's come back and immediately has been injured, and now he's going to be out for the foreseeable future here. So that is a highly disappointing development on the defensive side of the ball. Having said that, I still have some hope that if they can get him back in there and get him healthy, that he can be an important player for them up the middle. So, I mean, I realize in those situations we're talking about high picks. You're a first-round pick in Skoronski, second-round pick in Tavondre Sweat. Maybe this conversation shifts more toward the back part of the roster with some of those draft picks and, you know, them wanting their guys in there. I think if you're operating that way right now, it's a pretty stupid way to operate if you're the Tennessee Titans.
Well, yeah. I look at Brownlee as, you know, an individual thing, and that's where you get into their guys. Well, anything that Rand Carthon did was in tandem with Brian Callahan, because the coach has input. We can sit here and say that Brian Callahan doesn't have as much say over personnel as like Vrabel did.
Which is probably true.
Yeah, but I mean, Malarkey. You know, I mean, Malarkey is a. I just have never bought. If you ever go back through and talk to people about what happened during a draft, the head coach is always part of – how could he not be? How could the head coach not be part of every discussion and influence every decision? Malarkey, right from day one, when he's basically just paired with John Robinson, was absolutely right in the middle of all that stuff. And he's, again, he's the one who, because he bought what Blake Bedingfield said eventually about Henry, they talked Robinson into that, okay? So I think that's across the board. Yes, you can have some coaches who are like, I have final say.
Yeah.
And Callahan doesn't have that. But these are Callahan's players too, and they're Chad Brinker's players.
That's really the thing.
Right? So, like, I know Borgonzi's new, and Borgonzi and the crew of traveling GMs. But, yeah, I mean, most of this – two of the three people that I consider the decision-making, and I consider Callahan part of that, absolutely, are here. They were here for all these guys. So, yeah, I know some people, just like Ian said earlier, blame Rand. Now, the people who didn't work out, those are on Rand, right? Well, okay. But, I mean, that's very convenient and probably not true. But I just it's hard for me to believe that it's like they look at it like it's – I understand that Borgonzi's new, but like this is just a total departure from the past. Like these people are still here.
Well, this is also part of why they're set up and the way that they've laid things out and explained things over the last couple of years as to who's in charge and who's got the power and who's making decisions is so frustrating. It's because we could sit here and talk about this, but nobody has any idea how much influence – like, you know, L'Jarius Sneed, was that all Brinker? Like, did he make that trade? Was it all Rand? Like, you know, some of the draft picks around here, how much of it was Rand? How much of it was Brinker? Like, it's ridiculous trying to sit here and, you know, assign percentages to it. Like, oh, it's about 60% Brinker on this one, but a Brinker's only 35% this other move over here. It's like, well, what does all this mean? Like, right. It's just, it's ridiculous. So let's start there. It's part of why this setup has been so frustrating. Having said that, you know, when they fired Carthon, one of the things we immediately talked about when Brinker was promoted through all this and basically now is in charge of football was, okay, clearly he's got Amy Adams Strunk's trust here. Why? Because he was a part of all this, right? So that to me continues to be something to monitor moving forward here. It's like, you know, Brinker is not new here. He has been here through some of the decision-making and I would assume has been a key part of some of the decision-making that has worked out disastrously for the Tennessee Titans to this point. So, that where do we land on all that? Like, if you're sitting there and you think that the Titans are operating on, well, they just got to get all of Rand's guys out of here. Well, it's Brinker's guys, too.
Exactly.
And that's what I don't understand about the whole thing.
Absolutely. And you're right, it's frustrating. But to me, it's just like all you can do is say it's all of them. It was all of them before, and now it's all of them now, and it's some different people in place, but it's also like, I mean, I think if they come out of this, you know, right now this draft looks like it's got some promise. If that becomes the trend, then I think you can probably look at it and say, like, Borgonzi must have a pretty good,
yeah,
like you want to probably give him some credit, right? If they keep progressing, but still, like, they've made it where you could still, like, talk yourself out of that if you want, right? Just making it so unclear and hazy and all the different cooks in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Now, Keith here says, by the way, let me go back to Keith, who says the best and worst. Best is a failure in competency of the Titans. Has been highly entertaining radio, but his worst is I'm a Titans fan.
Sorry,
good,
Keith.
Good comment, Keith. But he also says, if Callahan can't handle basic coaching duties during a game, then do you really want him making personnel decisions? Yes. And if not, fire him. Yeah, I want my head coach saying, yes, that fits our scheme. No, that doesn't fit our scheme. Yes, I'd like to work with that person. No, I don't want to work with that person. And I want his assistants and his coordinators in there too. It's completely asinine to think about a football franchise where just the personnel people are over here and, hey, coaches, shut up and here you go. You go do your job now. It's not reality.
Yeah, and it doesn't mean that Callahan has to be the chief decision maker on personnel.
And he isn't.
But it does mean that you factor that in. Now, you know, I think we're getting pretty close to the point where it's like, who really cares what Callahan thinks anymore because he's not going to be here. So,
that may be
I think we're probably already there. But I just think in the process to get here is what I'm talking about. I would assume that he's been involved in that part of it. So, I mean, really, it all boils down to, like, what does this mean for where it's all headed here? Like, I think there are some today that believe the Titans are going to start just ripping off the Band-Aid of people that Borgonzi / Brinker, Berserker didn't bring in together. And they're just going to start rebuilding that way. And look, maybe they should to some degree, right? I mean, the roster clearly is not very good. The roster is going to require a lot of turnover regardless of what their strategy is right now. Like, they got a lot of work to do on the roster part of it. I am very interested to see over the next few weeks here before November 4th rolls around, which is when the NFL trading deadline is, how aggressive are they going to be in terms of trying to flip this thing? How aggressive are they going to be? Like, are they selling off everybody? Right? Like, if it's like, well, if you're a veteran player with any sort of trade value whatsoever, we're going to attempt to get rid of you. Because you can do that, and maybe it makes sense to do that. I also look at it and say, like, if you're trading away Calvin Ridley and Tyler Lockett and Tony Pollard and all these guys, what's that mean for Cam Ward?
Right.
Because you're trying to take him through this part of it.
I guess then you say, okay, now you can bench Cam Ward. Just play, hey, Brandon.
Call Tim back. Hey, yeah. Tim Boyle, you want to come play some quarterback?
Yeah. Is Logan Woodside around? Where is he? So where is he? Yeah, that's the thing. To me, the sell-off has to be with him in mind. You were talking about Sweat earlier. I kind of looked at, like, remember back when Jeff was young.
Yep.
The Jarrell Casey Simmons tandem, and then John Robinson got out in front of it. And to his credit, he timed that one perfectly and traded away Casey. But if you trade away Simmons, like, I don't think it's going to be the same sort of thing where the next guy inside is Tavon Reese. I mean,
not the
he
same
can't
player.
Get on the field, and so far he hasn't been – I mean, he's had some moments and some flashes, some decent games, but I don't think it's anything close to that. So, now, if you do that, you trade away Jeff, and you get – I heard Corey Curtis and Jake Lyman talk about this yesterday. Jake mentioned a first-round pick. I really – and Corey argued there's no way. I don't think you get a first for Jeff. I don't think you're getting a first for Jeff.
If you are, then do it.
Yes. Yeah. But I still think if you get a second, which I think is realistic, I think you do it too probably, right? And you're going to get the – like, if all this happens and they – again, I think you sell off, but you don't do anything that hurts Cam, ideally. I mean, Ridley's interesting, right? And you could argue, well, just put young guys in and you're not going to be good, but it's not going to harm him.
Yeah, well, I mean, I agree with the standpoint, like what Kuharski said yesterday. Ridley's got to start catching the ball before we start talking about trading. Because right now, if you're trying to trade Ridley, you're getting like a fifth back for him. Wow. It's like, well, what's the point?
Yeah, you definitely need him to show people he can still play before you do that. You would hope that would happen. But.
Yeah.
But, then you get the number one pick. So you'll get and then you hope that there's a quarterback. There will be. People will talk themselves into he's worth 1-1. And then
trade back, get some picks.
And you trade back and load up like you probably should have done last year, but you didn't.
Yeah. 615-737-1025.
We just talked about the draft. Damn
it. Phone number 615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on the roster right now. What do you want to see moving forward from the Titans? What approach should they take? And what do we make of the structure of this front office right now and the decisions that are being made? We'll get into all that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. The Blue Raiders will take on Kennesaw State this Saturday at 5 o'clock. Catch all the action on Totally Hits 93.3 with coverage also available on the Totally Hits Nashville app and at TotallyHitsNashville.com. If you're looking for a good spot to watch NFL games on Sunday, you should come out to Twin Peaks in Cool Springs, home of the 29-degree beer, and join 102.5 The Game for the pregame show before the Titans take on the Texans. Pregame show brought to you by Parman Tractor and Equipment, Old National Bank, Circa Sportsbook Kentucky, and Tennessee Brew Works. We are taking your thoughts on the Titans.
Nate on the text line driven by WilsonCunningham.com says, I think the Titans will not be good until Brinker is gone since he's been the constant this whole time. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. I don't think you're alone, Nate, in thinking that. But let's say, again, there's some good offensive players, I think, in this draft class. How good? I don't know. We'll see. Cam, you know, that's right. Like, Cam still defines everything. And
yeah, we need to pump the brakes on the draft talk. Like, Ed on the text line says, this draft is way better than previous ones. We'll see. It's been three games. Like,
yeah,
there are some fourth-round picks that I feel good about. Io Manor, DK, Helm, I feel good about all those guys.
The value on those guys definitely looks good right now.
It looks good right now. We have no idea about Ward yet. Like, I couldn't tell you right now if Ward's going to end up working out or not as number one overall. And you got a second-round pick. It's nowhere to be found. So I'm not willing to just anoint this draft class yet.
Agree. And the Ward thing is, it really is. Look, I like him. I think he's got a chance for sure. I think there's some promise there, no doubt. But, like, a few crazy arm talent throws, like, people are making too much of that.
They are.
Like, it means – it doesn't – I mean, 2 years ago, C.J. Stroud was on his way to being on, like, put him in the Hall of Fame as a rookie. Last year takes a step back. The OC, who everybody wanted to hire to be a head coach, gets fired. And it's bad this year. Now, spoiler alert.
It may get better.
I think C.J. Stroud might have a little get-back game coming up here against a certain local professional football team, okay? But it's been bad. Now, why is it? Do I think that he stinks? No, I think that their offensive line is like what's the step beyond buns? Like the inside of the buns? I mean, it's bad, okay? It's bad. I mean, you know,
the Houston text buns.
There we go. There we go. I like it.
It's like a muffin top situation from Seinfeld. You just take the muffin tops off, only leave the bottoms.
Nice. I mean, it's bad. And let's go back to Monday Night Football. I know I keep coming back to this, but I think it's such a perfect example of this. I'm watching Jared Goff, and a couple times he gets flushed out of the pocket. And I swear he looks like a diseased chicken running. And he's like, eh! He's like trying to like make a throw. Oh, he can't even like make a throw across his body.
He does look slow out there.
It's
God, I hope somebody.
If you put that dude behind this offensive line, the Texans, we'd be like, Jared Goff sucks. Why is he in the league? Instead, he's throwing for 500 yards and destroying. God, it's so much more. Like, we just so overrate one position and underrate what's around him.
I hope
and
somebody sends that to Jared Goff.
We're not even talking about the same topic anymore, but it's just it all. Anyway, yeah, you know, it's all like the Cam Ward thing is going to define everything.
Yeah.
But there's so much more about it. Okay, so you say Brinker is the constant, right? Okay, well, so what if they do? What if this draft class does turn out good? What if their next coach hire, which I think they're probably going to make in the offseason, turns out good and all that? I mean, what, you know? He gets the credit for that too,
yeah,
right?
For sure.
How do you separate them? You know, that's the thing. Well, I mean, look, Borgonzi is Brinker's.
I was about to say, here's the other, that's right? The other thing. But he hired Borgonzi.
Yeah.
Right? So, I mean.
Look, he has survived through all this stuff, and I do wonder why, but he has. And so he's got a chance now to cement
himself. And let me be clear. Like, I've heard from some Titans fans that say they should fire Brinker if they're going to move on from Callahan. I don't think so. Like, I think right now, like, give this front office structure that they've created – a chance. They're probably going to have to end up hiring a new head coach here. So go out and see if you can hire a head coach that can come in and help you fix some of this. Again, without delving into draft talk, I think it's fair to say that the Titans are going to end up with a relatively high pick next year. Maybe it's not number one overall, but it's probably going to be pretty close based on what we've seen to this point. So can you accumulate some draft capital that way? Like, there's still a long process here that has to take place to building the roster. And to me right now, that's a separate conversation than the coach. So, like, I get it. I ask some of the same questions. Like, there's been so much that's gone wrong around here, and Brinker's had his hand in a lot of it. So how do you justify that on one hand? And I'm talking about from the point of view of Amy Adams Strunk. Like, Amy Adams Strunk, even if we don't know the inner workings of the decisions and who's done what, I would assume she does. Like, I would assume Amy Adams Strunk's got a pretty good idea of, all right, well, who did the work on the Jerry Sneed trade, and who's, you know, all these moves that have gone haywire over the last couple of years. I would assume she knows the level of involvement that Chad Brinker's got in it. So that's in the backdrop of all this. It's a big time for – like, we all knew they were going to be bad this year. It's gone worse than I could have even imagined to start through the first three games. A lot of it is on the coach and what he's done and the disasters that he's come up with. But from a roster-building standpoint, like, this is such a crucial time for this franchise over the next year and a half, 2 years, to make the right decisions. And, again, I'm encouraged by the draft class right now. I am by no means willing to anoint this draft class right now.
Right. And what you worry about with I agree with you, Amy Armstrong should definitely have a full accounting of what all has gone on. Sometimes it's area scout stands on a table for a player, whatever it is. You know, coaches sometimes, assistant coaches. People talk about that all the time. You know, in the late rounds, a lot of times it's, you know, a position coach will make a strong case. Like, this linebacker in the sixth round really make a difference, whatever. But what you worry about is that it's just endearing yourself to her is what has helped people stay / elevate, whatever it is, or get someone fired who's good like Vrabel, because – and it is partially on him. He did a terrible job of communicating and making sure that relationship stayed good. But, yeah, when those are the reasons and not just what did you do, what's your competence level – You know, what's the, you're going to be held accountable for like your decisions and how you run this place, not because you talk to me or I like you. You know, if it's because of that stuff, then frankly, I think that's has to be part of the reason why they are. Where they
and
are.
Frankly, like this is all circling back around. Like I already see it with the fan base, right? Like some of the same people that by the end of Vrabel were so tired of the Vrabel stuff. And look, if you were tired of the Vrabel stuff, that's fine. I can't blame you. But it was like, well, we need to go out and get an offensive guy, and we need like this macho. This guy that I know I'm smarter than everybody in the room. It's my way. Like we need that guy out of here. And now it's like I need Callahan to have a little bit more of a spine in there. So we're already circling back around to this. And I would imagine when the time comes that they're going to fire Brian Callahan, it's going to be like we need a leader of men,
culture. Dan Campbell,
leader of men in there.
Right.
And we're on the fast track back to that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's always whatever just didn't work. You hire the opposite, so they can just keep bouncing back and forth, you know? Maybe Mike Tomlin. Maybe Mike Tomlin will be available.
Maybe so. We'll see.
I mean, yeah.
Mike Tomlin's definitely going to find a way this year to end up like 10-7 and get into the playoffs, and then we'll see.
10-7. That would be Steelers fans would.
Steelers fans, basically what they've been.
Yeah, well, but yeah, more like, yeah, I guess so. 9-8-ish, right?
Yeah.
Right in that range. Yeah, Steelers fans are fed up with that too. By the way,
they are,
I get. Like you haven't really done anything significantly in the postseason in a long time.
Yeah, it's been a while.
But that's also a quarterback thing.
And Titans fans right now, like 10-7.
Yeah,
get me to 10-7.
Yeah, but no, I mean it's like right, and you go back to the early days of Callahan. It's like, oh man, this guy press conferences are awesome. He's not a jerk to people, and he's an offensive guy. People can speak their mind in the building, all this stuff. And
they correct mistakes. Yeah.
There's some things that no matter what kind of coach you have, they kind of have to be part of the deal, you know? Like accountability definitely has to be part of the deal.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll continue to take your thoughts on all of this with the front office, plus Jarvis Brownlee Jr. firing back at a report about him yesterday. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Vanderbilt taking on Utah State this Saturday at First Bank Stadium. Pregame beginning at 10 a.m. on 102.5 The Game with a kickoff at 11:45. Vanderbilt football brought to you by Gary Force Acura, Jim and Kelly Steakhouse, and Smoky Mountain Tops. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. I got some tickets to give away to the Music City Madness as Tennessee takes on Illinois at Bridgestone Arena on Saturday, December the 6th. Be caller 5, 615-737-1025. Caller 5 will win a pair of tickets to the Music City Madness, Tennessee and Illinois at Bridgestone Arena, coming up on Saturday, December 6th. The odds are you could see Joe Rexroad in the building there. College basketball around here?
Yeah, I think that's a decent chance there.
Decent chance.
Got practice starting this week.
Get fired up.
That's right.
Get fired up.
Talked to Rick Barnes the other day a little bit.
There we go.
And he's got Nate. Watch out for this freshman, Nate. Amen. Whew.
Let's head to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Welcome in Brian to the program. Brian, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, yes, sir. Thank you. Good morning to you guys as well.
Thank you.
So I have a question here, completely off the wall, right? But Brian Callahan, you guys have been talking about possible coaching changes and whatever the future of the organization looks like, hopefully good in the next couple of years. But someone that's been on my mind recently who I think in the past has possibly circled around was maybe John Gruden. I know there's been some conflict and some controversial issues, but I just wanted to get your guys' thoughts on, the possibility of him maybe, as a candidate, if even at all possible, is that a possibility? And if so, what's your guys' thoughts?
Yeah, thank you for the call, Brian. Appreciate it. Joe, that's a name we're going to hear a lot over the next few months, I would guess.
Yeah. And I guess we can't just like – can there just be like a button we hit? Like, disclaimer, stop talking about John Gruden. I get it. I understand what people – a couple of things. Yeah, like the NFL lawsuit's messy. I've said this. I think – and he's even sort of campaigned a little bit – about, he said, I'd die to coach in the SEC. I just have a feeling he's going to be a college football coach. I think he's going to give it a run.
I would agree.
So, and the whole lawsuit against the NFL right now is pretty nasty. So I don't think he's going to be in the NFL. But beyond that, John Gruden's great personality. He had a lot of success as a coach a long time ago.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying he doesn't know ball or he couldn't possibly still be a successful coach, but I do think maybe people are a little bit overselling what he's done.
There's an aura around him that I understand that, look, I mean, not to go back into ancient history here, but the groomers at Tennessee of, oh, my God, John Gruden's at the Calhoun Steakhouse on the river. Peyton Manning's in the booth over there. It's unbelievable. Like, it just got out of control with that stuff. And this is while he was on TV doing Monday Night Football. And I thought he was awesome on TV.
Yeah.
He came back. He coached the Raiders before all the stuff went down with how he's his exit there. And, like, he was okay as head coach of the Raiders, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's –
in the second stint, I mean.
Right. Very good announcer. And it's, again, it's not like, I mean, he has demonstrated the ability to be a very good coach. Don't get me wrong, but, you know, that was against Bill Callahan and with Bill Callahan and then against Bill Callahan. And it was almost a quarter century ago where he peaked as a coach. So I get it. I understand why it gets brought up. I think there's a very, very slim chance that he's even in the NFL at all. So I just think that, you know, there are better people to talk about. Now, do I have a top five list for you right now? No.
No.
We're not quite there yet. But we will get there. I guess we're going to be talking about that. At least we'll have that to talk about instead of talking about the draft.
Yeah.
So that's good.
This would be something right up your alley. There's a texter that wants them to get Dabo Swinney in here as the new head coach.
Trade him. How about an NFL to college team trade?
Yeah.
Hey, there we go. That's an interesting thought. Dabo in the NFL. Ooh, boy. He already said that he's, like, going to quit if the players, you know, are getting paid. So, now I do have – I want – there was someone who brought something up, and I think this is a fair thing to bring up, okay, by Philip. He says, let's say Rand Carthon was still here this season, did the same moves. He'd be getting crucified. No edge rusher. Terrible second-round pick as of right now.
Yeah.
Overpaid left tackle. Now trading away a starter for a sixth pick. Why is Brinker not getting the same attention? But again, it's why is Brinker? Well, the GM is Borgonzi, you know? But, yeah, I mean, all those things balance out the fact that they do have some promising young players offensively in this class. But I agree. People, look, the Rand thing, people want to blame Rand. And it's just, look, when Mularkey left, it was – for a lot of people just wanted to see, wasn't that good? And Terry Rubisky and all this stuff. And then John Robinson left. And, yeah, but Vrabel's the guy. He's the key. He's the secret sauce. And then Vrabel gets, yeah, Vrabel was just too, you know. But Rand is a really – and now Rand – like, so whoever gets fired next, there will be an overemphasis on how bad they were, right?
Yes.
And a desire to try to hope that the people that are left, they're fine. They're good. They're going to figure it out. Now, maybe Borgonzi is – good, and he's going to end up helping this get in the right direction. But I think that's a fair thing to bring up.
Yeah, I mean, and again, I feel like we do this with all the drafts all the time. Like, early on in the draft, like, take the Levis draft. I mean, early on, it's like, hey, this draft is looking pretty good. Levis just got out here against the Falcons and threw for a billion yards and four touchdowns in the game. You got, you know, Tajay Spears out here running around. Like, everything's looking great. And you need – time. Like, the NFL, can you do it on a week-in, week-out basis? I mean, that's what the league is. Can you do it on a week-in, week-out basis? I like Io Mayner. I got a feeling he might be pretty good. So that's good. DK has been awesome in the return game. I'm interested to see if his role expands as the year goes on at wide receiver, because that would also be great if you could do that. Yeah. But we'll see. But I'm encouraged.
He's explosive.
You know, Gunnar Helm. I mean, Gunnar Helm has six catches for 52 yards, okay? So the stat line is not going to blow you away, but I like what I've seen from Gunnar Helm. Like, I think he's got a chance to turn into a good player. So all those things I feel good about. Cam Ward I feel good about. Like, Cam Ward has not blown me away. I mean, the first touchdown pass he threw blew me away. It was awesome. But, like, overall, I haven't walked away from Cam Ward just being like, this guy, without a shadow of a doubt, is a Hall of Fame quarterback one day. But I also am not – I'm not discouraged by what I've seen.
No,
like, I think he's
got a chance.
I think he's about where I thought he would be this year, which is you can see signs that he's going to be pretty good. The situations around him is pretty awful. And now basically I'm praying that the Titans don't ruin him. Like, that's where I'm at with Cam Ward. And we're not gonna know the answer to that this year. Like, I've seen enough to know and look at the Titans roster enough to know At the end of this season, I'm here to tell you, we are not going to know one way or the other if Cam Ward is going to end up being a franchise quarterback or not. We're just not. It's going to take some time.
Now, let's say, and I don't think the conditions around him will allow for this, but let's say he goes on a tear. They win some games. He looks great. There are people who will think that we know that. But again, I'll just point you back to C.J. Stroud 2 years ago. There's no way anyone thought that the struggles that we've seen from him would be coming based on what we saw from him 2 years ago, right?
Correct.
So we have quarterbacks who struggle, and with this whole trend in the NFL, I mean, the Titans' best quarterbacking of the past 20 years is because of a retread quarterback that they picked up for a fourth-round pick, and it's all over the league. There's also the quarterback who looks great early and then fades out, and that's another. It just takes time to know, and again, it takes what is around them. I'd love to see Cam Ward with actual protection consistently and weapons who catch the ball consistently and a head coach who isn't stumbling all over himself and good play scheme and design and all that stuff. I'd love to see that. I think it could look really good. When will that happen?
Yeah, I'm totally with you. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll have the Rob rant coming up next. Take your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Charles Robinson will be with us at 8 o'clock from Yahoo Sports. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.
Don't make me angry.
Sometimes you have to tell someone to pound sand.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
This is the Rob Rant.
Now
on Robbie and Rex Road.
I'm not going anywhere.
Say another word about the Detroit Tigers. You're dead.
Well, at least he didn't say he hated his father.
Come after me!
Vrabel leaving the field here stained in blood.
He looks like a diseased chicken.
I'm a man! I'm 40!
But I just hate sports.
It is that time of the day, the Rob Rant, brought to you by Functional Medicine of Tennessee. Rise up to better health. Check them out at functionalmedicineoftennessee.net. Joe, the Rob Rant today is very simple. It's this. I see some Titans fans throughout this whole process, and this is particularly while the games are going on Sunday. Got to give the ball to Tony Pollard more. Let's give the ball to Tony Pollard more. You got to run more. You need Tony Pollard running the ball 27, 28, 29 times a game, which sounds great in theory. But I'm like, have you guys seen Tony Pollard so far this year? He hasn't been very good. And I went over some of the numbers yesterday. Against the Broncos, 3.3 yards per carry, 18 carries, 60 yards. Nice game against the Rams, 20 carries, 92 yards, 4.6 a carry. Against the Colts, 16 carries, 45 yards, 2.8 a carry, which brings his grand total this year 54 carries, 197 yards in three games, 3.6 yards per attempt. The yards per attempt, and granted, small sample size, so I want to make that clear. Small sample size. But he's not been very good so far. There's not much explosion there. Kuharski talked about it yesterday. His long so far this year running the ball, I believe, is 11. He's got 11 yards as his long through three games. Now, maybe they'll be able to run the ball a little bit better against Houston. We'll see. Maybe as the schedule goes on, we're going to see Tony Pollard get stronger as the year goes on. Spears, I guess, is coming back at some point. Do they split the workload up a little bit more? What is that going to look like? I don't know. But if you want the Titans to run the ball a little bit more, they should probably run the ball a little bit better than they have to this point. And that, to me, as much as anything else, that's been disappointing on the offensive side. I thought they'd be able to run the ball and should be able to run the ball better than they have to this point. Maybe the absence of Latham is playing a huge role in that. We'll see. But they got to get better production out of the running game than what they're getting right now.
I would like to point out that that puts them on a pace for 1,116 yards this year, which if we say go into the year, you know, okay.
I think shows you that the 1,000-yard conversation in the 17-game schedule, maybe not all it's cracked up to be.
Yeah. No, that would be, well, let's see, hold on. That would still be 1,016, but you know, it'd be like 1,020 or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, he hasn't been great, and, you know, this is I agree with the idea that they need to run the ball. I do think that you are onto something with Latham. I think Latham Zeitler was a hope for, and I think we saw it some, even in the Denver game at times. Like, they could be some little bit of road grading over there, and obviously that's all messed up. But I also think that Pollard – is a mortal, and so at his age, he's starting to look like what running backs look like at his age, which is why running backs get discarded so quickly. I mean, it's just you know, it's just the reality. I mentioned Jake Lyman and Corey Curtis because I was, you know, I was not hate texting them, but I was like, you know, I like to throw my two cents in sometimes, just like Vingan's doing on the YouTube chat with us right now. But you know, yesterday Lyman, they're going through all the needs, and like you've already laid out today, it's a huge list of needs. And Lyman mentioned running back, and Corey's like, yeah, you can get a running back. And I disagree. I disagree with the complete dismissal of running back. I understand it's devalued and all that stuff. Well, I keep bringing it back. I must love the Detroit Lions. I just keep using them as an example. But let's go back to Monday Night Football. And I mentioned Jared Goff. Jared Goff looked like a terrible quarterback in week one. Because why? Because his offensive line got whipped by the Packers.
Yeah.
The next two games, oh, my God, he's good again. Why? Because the offensive line dominated. I would submit to you that the Detroit Lions have the best tandem in the league, and I would submit to you that they are very key to their success.
Running Montgomery, yep.
And that's a first round pick, which people ripped, and that's a third round pick. So I hate to say, like, I'm not saying it's at near the top of the list for the Titans, but they need to get a new back pretty soon. They're going to need to. They're going to be in the market. He's solid. He's fine. I think he is leveling out a little bit right now. I think we're seeing a little bit of that.
Yeah, and look, again, it's a three-game sample size, so this doesn't mean a lot to me right now. But as the season goes on, I think it's something to keep your eye on of, like, do they get more explosive plays out of Pollard? Are they able to run the ball more effectively than they have to this point? Because right now, Joe, I mean, this is the offense that you're dealing with right now, which explains why they're 0-3. You got an offensive line that can't pass protect very well. So that's a familiar story. You've got a number one wide receiver who can't catch a football right now. Well, that doesn't help your quarterback out very much, does it? You got a running game that has almost no explosiveness to it. Pollard's averaging 3.6 a carry, which, again, in the NFL is not a good number. 3.6 yards per carry. I mean, we talk about helping your quarterback. Iyo Manor, I feel good about. Like, Iyo Manor, that's about it on the offensive side of the ball right now. You can't pass protect. Right now, you can't run the football, and your number one wide receiver can't catch football out there. I mean, look at what's going on around Cam Ward right now through three games. It's that bad.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, if you want to take – Robert here says, if Derrick Henry was still here, we'd be having a completely different conversation. Well, here's another thing about that. Let's remember Derrick Henry's yards per carry here at the end with the Titans, right? I mean, there is still that, like, everything is interrelated and dependent on each other, right? So that's the thing with Pollard, to be fair to him. You know, if you can't protect, if you can't pass, if people aren't worried about you, if linebackers aren't in conflict, if safeties can take another couple steps forward, well, guess what? You're going to look worse as a running back, too. We saw what. Like, no one has – I know it sucks with Derrick Henry, the fumbling. But, like, obviously, Derrick Henry is still incredible as a player. He didn't look incredible here at the very end, right, because of – and I'm not saying Tony Pollard is this amazing player who's just being held back, but it is all connected. And pretty much it's almost all bad for the Titans.
Exactly. So, look, I'd love for them to be able to run the ball a little bit more effectively. I think you're right from what you said yesterday. Regardless of if you're running the ball well or not, maybe lean into the play action a little bit more than they are right now, which is something I hope that you'll see from Bo Hardigree, which is, all right, I kind of fall in line with Kuharski. I have seen in the NFL linebackers bite on a play action fake when a team has run like 11 times for 38 yards in the game.
Yeah.
Like, they'll bite. Not every time, but they will. So, like, I would lean into play action a little bit more.
You force some pause, and there's a benefit to it no matter what. Thank you to Andrew from Dover. He says, I agree with Joe. Trade for Cam Scadaboo the next great times. Well,
Cam and Cam together in the backfield.
Well, he's pretty good, man. Just saying. People are trolling me about – Santa's trolling me about Genty, too. Genty's going to be just fine.
It's not going well for him so far.
No, but they stink.
They do.
And that's the thing. I think no different at all about his talent. They stink. It's amazing that they won at New England.
Yeah.
Actually. Like, that one could haunt Vrabel this year.
It could. Indy Ben has weighed in. Says, more reasons the Titans should have probably traded down and gotten a good haul of picks to rebuild the roster before bringing in your potential franchise quarterback. Surroundings matter. Look at what's happening with Indiana Jones.
Boom.
There we go.
Indiana Jones and
Jonathan Taylor looks great.
The Temple of Boom.
Yeah.
Now look, this keeps coming up, but and someone asked the question today. It's like, why did they not do that? Why?
And talking about the trade with
yeah,
the Giants.
Yeah. And I think this show thinks they should have, thought they should have. But again, the why is that they think Cam Ward's going to be great and he's going to be worth being the number one pick. I can't tell them right now they're wrong.
No. And if he is worth being the number one pick, then you don't make that trade. As I discussed, like if you think the quarterback is that guy, there's really no amount of picks that I make. Go get the quarterback figured out.
Right, but to Indy Man's point, you know, when you are this bad, which has happened to plenty of quarterbacks in this league.
Oh yeah,
and then the teams eventually got better, and you could see that they were good. But it is a rough place to start.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports will be with us coming up next. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans, on Brian Callahan. And, of course, on all things NFL headlines as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.